herein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Problems, problems, problems all day long. Will my problems work out right or wrong? My baby don't like anything I do. My teacher seems to feel the same way too.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at kfarradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Perus. If you want to call into today's show, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. With that, it's the first Tuesday of the month, which means it's the Laundry House Gang. I've got some of the Laundry House Gang here, not all the gang, but this gang is enough. Mr. Heimer, Mr. Tinker, Mr. Barrett. Gentlemen, how you doing?
Morning, Dave.
Excellent. Well,
and I use that term gentleman loosely.
Thank you.
Yeah, we understand. You're not the only one.
Well, you guys have been talking about a lot of stuff already, so I'm going to start. Mr. Tinker, what's on your mind, sir?
Well, what I brought with me this morning is an opportunity for the state of Alaska, and we haven't heard much about it. Yet it's something we need to inquire on what the state's up to, and that is on the...
We have Ms. Juhas joining in the room.
Oh, good.
Everyone.
They took all the good parking spots. I had to go for it.
Best for last, we'll call it. Yeah. Okay, Mr. Tinker, go ahead.
Jennifer, I was just starting to talk about Order 3447, which is the Secretary of the Interior's order from January. Basically... the subject of the order is expanding hunting and fishing access, removing unnecessary barriers, which I have highlighted, and ensuring consistency across the Department of the Interior, lands and waters in the United States. It goes down to direct all bureaus and offices, improve coordination. But one of the things it really gets into in all of the subjects, there are about 12 sections to this thing, is that he wants closer coordination and removing duplication from state management, state governments.
Regulations.
Plans and management and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And this is something that we've been on top of for a long time. You've heard us talk about the problems that we got into right after statehood, when the federal land agencies had to give up their authority in Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't like that, and they literally, before the ink was dry, started figuring out what they could do to get back in the game. And we've seen that come all the way through from various regulations and orders and changes in the federal system, where they've tried to fit Alaska into the notch that everybody else is in and realized, whoops, we don't fit very well. But right up into ANILCA and those kind of things, that where the federal agencies got a whiff of the fact that they might be able to do something, so they immediately expanded their regulatory system and tried to pretend that they were offering a better deal for subsistence than the state was for subsistence users and whatnot, and built this huge bureaucracy absolutely paralleling the state's existing management plan, which was touted to be one of the best in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So since that time, there's a lot of us that have been trying to get some common sense involved with the idea of having these things line up closer. Having the triggers that are in the federal system really work rather mm-hmm. than just be eyewash and whatnot, so that when they say, we're not getting enough of this, or we think there's a shortage of that, there's absolutely some work to do that.
When is this work or review due by?
It's very interesting. The agencies have 8 more days to turn in their original report. They'll be screaming and yelling for more time. And I haven't heard anything about more time. Have you?
Well, so this is for an original report.
Yeah.
And this should be considered step one in the process. And I've talked before about Kate McGregor, Kate the Great, who I had the privilege of meeting a few years ago down in Nashville. You know, funny thing, I was talking to Mike Crawford, who's the incoming president next year for the whole Safari Club International, and he said, they let you go to the legal update? And I said, well, yeah, I just show up each year and say, well, I'm not an attorney and I don't need the CLEs, but, you know, if I promise to be mostly quiet besides a few questions, can I sit in? And they go, oh, sure, go in. And so
charmer, you.
Well, it doesn't hurt to ask.
True.
Right? So Kate McGregor was giving the legal update, and this was under the Biden administration, and we were, you know, waiting for the pending election to see if Trump would be reelected. And she had been Deputy Secretary of the Interior before, and is again, thank goodness. And so the Kate McGregor school of comments, we've talked about this before, that they aren't playing the numbers game anymore like lazy administrations have done. As long as there's one correct comment in there and it is the right direction, they're seeking those so that they can justify the proper actions, and then they will respond to why, you know, 1 million other people said they should do something else and why it's actually wrong and they're not going to. So Kate has briefed Drew Pierce, who's been back at the White House before and advising before, and Kara Moriarty, our own homegirl from Fairbanks, ran our chamber for a while, went off to go run AOGA, the Oil and Gas Association. She was also just down with me at SCI last week, but if you were part of the hearing, she had to sit and preside over the subsistence hearing, but and we'll get into that more on Friday and some more, but I don't want to just ramble, but yes, Tinker, this, if we're looking at if we're looking at the roadmap, this is stop number one.
Yeah.
So those plans and those drafts will be analyzed, and then they will come back for more information from the public and the agencies. Okay, David's looking like he needs to take a break.
Nope, we're fine.
Let me go back to the process just for a minute, having worked with several federal agencies for all my career at the Department of Transportation. Very few of these orders come down with a date at all. Mm-hmm. They just say go forth and do good, and we'll talk about it in the spring. This one has that one as the first step. It has a 120-day requirement from the date of the order for the agencies to have their office submission report of what they're going to do about it, which means that somebody has to go through and look this and make a list. And it's for all the Department of the Interior agencies and bureaus. Now, in Alaska, that's a caveat because we have the Department of Agriculture with the Forest Service who is not impacted by this. And hopefully there'll be something similar come out. But this thing is written so that it's real obvious what the secretary is looking for. And that to me is another indicator that they're really serious.
I'm unburdened by a lot of knowledge.
Says the doctor in the room.
But burdened by a fair amount of observational experience. And this is, I have the really creepy feeling this is not the first time I've seen this.
Okay.
You know, my prediction as a cynic would be that the real basis for things will be forgotten or overlooked while we look at the minutiae. You know, there's a jillion federal regulations, many of which have to do with Alaska, and may or may not have been duplicative at one time and have diverged, and on and on and on it goes. But the grandest exclusion from federal land use that I can think of is what we end up with ANILCA and the subsistence preference. And
yeah.
I think this is an interesting opportunity, should we take it, to look into that. Probably the state will have to do it because I don't think the feds even consider it.
Was that from the Secretary of the Department of Interior?
Yes.
Okay.
Bergen.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. You're listening to KFAR Radio. I got four out of the usual five characters of the Laundry House Gang. We'll be back after these messages.
Oh, yeah.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Mountain View Eye Center is making a difference. Ebba is from the Congo. Her son moved to Alaska, bringing Ebba, who had become blind from untreated cataracts. They went to Mountain View Eye Center for cataract surgery, and for the first time in years, Ebba could see clearly. She told her son, "You are so handsome." And then, Ebba truly saw her granddaughter for the first time. Good things are happening. Visit mountainvieweyes.com.
It has occurred to me that I am an introvert. I live a sheltered life as an old septic tank, gazing at the stars, pondering my poetry, appreciating the weather, rain or snow. I know my family has Bigfoot Pumpin' and Thawin' faithfully pump me out once a year. I count on that flow in my life, and I will continue to serve them much better for many years to come.
The Find Out Free Pregnancy Center provides free, confidential pregnancy tests to any woman in need, but they offer so much more to women, men, and families. By participating in one-on-one parenting classes selected by you, you can take advantage of Earn While You Learn, earning valuable credit to spend on children's items and clothing in Maria's Boutique. The Find Out Free Pregnancy Center, call 907-455-8255 or visit online findoutfree.com, findoutfree.com.
Hi, it's Chuck Indereaton, your host for Shooter's Corner, the show dedicated to firearms conversation and education and the shooting sports. You'll be on target for fascinating guests, expert tips, gear reviews, plus thrilling stories. Get the lowdown on local 2A events and more. You won't want to miss a single episode. Join me, Chuck Indereaton, every Thursday morning at 11 for Shooter's Corner, where precision meets passion. Sponsored in part by Rogers Auto Repair. Listen right here on KFAR 660 AM.
KFAR weather.
Ample sunshine expected today with daytime highs approaching one above. Southeast winds around 5 miles per hour. Lows level off around 30 below tonight. Mainly sunny tomorrow. Highs around 3 below. Turning warmer Thursday and Friday with highs near zero to the single digits above zero. Slight chance of snow Friday. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have 4 out of 5 of my usual characters of the Laundry House Gang, Jen, Wayne, Mike, and Al. Now, Al, a question for you.
Yes, sir.
You stated that on your way into town, you heard the Goose Watch song.
Oh, yeah. I knew things were looking up this morning when I heard that coming into town. Yes.
Is that sort of like, you know, seeing the groundhog with a shadow or not?
Oh, yeah. I never thought about that, but I felt a lot better coming into town.
Was it on KFAR or some other channel?
No, there's other channels in Fairbanks?
Not that I know of. Oh, so they're already pumping up the Goose Watcher. What was it this morning? 42 below?
Yeah, it was...
It was too damn cold.
Yeah. It was cold as it's been for the last 10 days in a row and then the month before that. And
this is how I try to explain it to my brothers who live out in Anchorage and Arizona. I said, this picture 90 days. And for 60 of those to 70 of those days, it's been, you know, 30 to 40 below. And for the other 20 days, it snowed like hell.
Yeah.
That's basically from December through now.
Yeah, then it gets so cold, we can't clean up the snow.
I spent 10 days in Nashville thinking that we'd come back and, you know, the weather was on the upswing because it was when we left.
It'd break, yeah.
No, I had 2 houses to dig out 27 inches of snow with, you know. We were done house sitting for the Buists, and they got back last Friday. And, you know, so we landed at 3 a.m., had to dig our way into the pilot shack we're crashed in so we can, you know, rebuild our house. And then we had to go up there and dig out for them.
Oh, wow.
It's a good thing you're so young. And remember, I know how young you are.
Now, Mr. Heimer, what do your squirrels think about the weather and the snow and the cold?
I think they're not very active. The squirrels seem to be gone under for the time being.
They're hibernating a little bit.
The foxes are making the daily loop, mm-hmm. as they should, but the squirrels are taking a break.
Mr. Barrett, you have the Board of Game coming up.
Yeah, Board of Game starts like the 20th of March.
Location?
5-7 days. It's in Kodiak. We'll be doing South Central proposals, and there's quite a suite of them this year, so there's something for everybody to comment on, and it's been interesting going through all those, I don't know, roughly 100 proposals, it looks like.
How many board members are there?
7.
So are you going to, as a board member, you often, we've had more involved board members and less involved board members, and thank you for always, you know, when you can, showing up for the advisory committee, the Eastern Interior RAC on, you know, the mirror project that the feds put on is meeting today, tomorrow, and Friday at Pike's. Are you going to be popping in over there, and is there anything that you want to flag for our listeners who have time to go over to Pike's to maybe comment on?
Waterfront Lodge?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, I have to check in with my boss on that. you know, in the spirit of Compo's not here, we are retailing a fine variety of smoked salmon and brisket burgers at Interior Fish Processors.
And so, you know, I'm going to slap Craig Compo. He's been such a horrible influence on you. Now you're a capitalist pig who markets your own product on Cafe Art during
Nothing beats Spitzer's Roadkill Sticks, though. Those were delicious.
Yeah, they're excellent.
Yeah, they are.
So I haven't I seen they were in town, and I haven't because this is my it's like my crunch week and a half that I go through all the proposals in front of the board of game. I got department comments I have to go through, and public comments will start coming in. So I haven't thought. I had something that I wanted to say to the Eastern Interior Rack, but I can't remember what it is right now. So. But I may try to pop in there and see some friends.
Mr. Reimer.
Again, you know, as Tinker was saying a moment ago, we're talking about duplication and waste and regulatory confusion and whatever that is being presumably reviewed by the feds. We should note that the Federal Subsistence Board is actually an imitation clone of the Alaska Board of Game. The advisor committees have been shadowed by the racks, and on and on and on, the craziness goes.
Well, and the Eastern Interior Rack is a huge example because 75% of their participants are on their local advisory, fish and game advisory committees.
It's like the trouble with tribbles. It keeps multiplying over there.
Yeah.
Just as long as we mentioned pikes, I don't know that we've done this yet, and I would like to put a shout out in congratulations to our friend Jay Ramris on the birth and bris of his son, Avi.
Yep.
Oh, cool. Didn't know that. That's great.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, congratulations, Jay. And I sent him a couple texts, and he sent me a photo of him and his son and together,
great.
And it was just a fantastic photo. And, you know, just nothing like a person having the birth of a child.
And, well, I have this congratulations card for him and Mary that I wrote at the airport when I was leaving for Nashville, and it's been in my backpack. It's gone through several Tennessee parks, and then it's gone through several airports. It's still in my backpack, and I need a stamp.
Oh, no, there's another federal agency. She has to go to the post office.
But that's just a drive-by.
Al brought up something just in explaining to you what he was going to do this next couple of weeks that I don't think a lot of your listeners would really have the detail on, and that is in going through the proposals and comments, we're not talking about something the size of a magazine.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about 5 inches of paper piled up.
It's an old-style phone book.
Yeah, and the idea that that people do that. And Al is one of the guys who has been so conscientious about this over the years. There are members who pick and choose what they look at. They look at some of the stuff and not all of the stuff. But fortunately, there are a few like Al that go through it all and look at the background and that kind of thing.
Mr. Reimer, what does a conspiracy person mindset in you think of this?
I wonder why you'd be asking me.
Because
my first thought is, why are you asking me about this?
That's a conspiracy start.
Right? That's why, example.
If the system has gotten crazy, if you look to the laws and the statutes and the purpose for why we have the Board of Game, let alone the Federal Subsistence Board.
Mm-hmm.
It's really pretty simple. But in an effort to maintain contact with the public, you know, we end up with the public, which typically is driven by a special interest of their own, you know, making way most of the management proposals, which are by intent supposed to be made by the manager, which is the Department of Fish and Game. So the manager sits on the sideline a great deal and comments maybe or maybe not.
Well, usually
what
not.
The public wants.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, you know, who's doing the managing around here?
It's very rare to hear a area biologist, for example, give his report to the Board of Game and say, then we've talked about this at the department and this is what we think we ought to do. That doesn't happen 5% of the time.
So is it a conspiracy? It's an attempt to be relevant, and it turns out to be cumbersome and ineffective and driven by special interests, and it's too bad.
Which is why we will talk more on Friday. But for those of you who are out there listening who simply know that this duplicative process is onerous, expensive, I mean, to the tune of millions of dollars a year, mm-hmm. as well as our time, talent, and treasure that we're pouring into this individually simply to attend these things. Many of us are wearing, you know, this a different hat at cloned, as you say, meetings, to say the same darn thing to people who could listen at one set of meetings. The Federal Subsistence Review that is open, we've talked about this. I've had the acknowledgement from the Department of Interior that even though the open comment period was spurred on by a petition for rulemaking filed by Safari Club, that very detailed petition is not something we are constrained to. And I, you know, had that validated in public by high-ranking members of the Department of Interior who said, no, we want all of your comments. If you're listening and you simply know that it doesn't work, all you have to do is Google Federal Subsistence Board open comment period, DOI, and you'll get the links. Just comment, it needs to be overhauled. It needs to be completely revised. You need to start over. I would love to see them just I've got very specific comments, and I'm going to be following that up maybe with a white paper. I'm trying to decide exactly how to do my follow-up with the comment extension. Mm-hmm. But to genuinely eliminate the board and the racks, which are not necessary to deliver the process.
Well, Mr. Heimer.
I think, you know, we've spoken of clones, and clones they are. But the trick is that the management direction for the two different clones are 180 degrees out of phase.
Yeah.
The state's mandate, constitutional mandate, is for maximum use. The federal stewardship
is for shutdown.
Is for minimum use.
Yeah.
So, you've got a really interesting situation that needs to be fixed.
Mr. Tinker.
Well, this opportunity that we're talking about is, and Wayne alluded to this a little bit earlier, is you end up with these battles where the regulatory process becomes discretionary, or it becomes where it restricts people that have a long-term relationship with mm-hmm. Use, and you end up like John Sturgeon did in court. So you go through the regulatory process, you go through a court process. What we're talking about here when the agency takes a look at it from the very beginning is going around the other decision makers that you can get into, like the court, and having it looked at the very beginning. In other words, go back to the original problem and say, what was really wrong that started this flood going the wrong direction, and try to make that change there. And that's the potential that we have in these two things to comment on here.
Mr. Barrett.
Yeah, so speaking as just a citizen of Fairbanks or Alaska, not a member of the Board of Game, you know, what I've seen over the years is any time the Board of Game takes any kind of action that makes non-federally qualified users have more restrictions than, you know, other users, the Federal Subsistence Board gets real antsy, and then they all of a sudden go, hey, our people are more restricted than the other state residents are, so now we got to go back and trump what the state has done. And it's a continued leapfrogging event of the Board of Game taking action that makes something, more readily accessible than what the federal government's trying to do.
I'd say it paints for me that picture of the two dragons that are chasing each other in a circle, but it really ends up being that snake that it's eating its own tail.
Mm-hmm. True. Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break here. We're going to give you some Van Halen bumper music. We're going to have some Fox News, some state news, some commercials, weather. But I'm going to leave you with a thought. What you hear from these four fine people, they are not paid for this. They do their own investigations. They're caring Alaskans. They're fantastic people. And we will be back.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fox News, I'm Angelo Bavaro. Israel launching more military strikes on Iran and reportedly killing multiple Iranian top officials today.
We learned from an Israeli official that the Supreme Council of Iran was voting for the next supreme leader, the person to replace the Ayatollah Khamenei, when the Israelis struck the location that we understand dozens of individuals from the Iranian regime were located in. The Iranians are still launching ballistic missiles at Israel.
Fox's Trey Yingst. Meantime, President Trump meeting with Germany's chancellor, saying U.S. airstrikes prevented attacks from Iran.
Based on the way the negotiation was going, I think they were going to attack first.
That does undercut what Secretary of State Marco Rubio told lawmakers when he suggested the U.S. was aware Iran would target American forces if Israel attacked. America is listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Blaine Buddy Streeper took home the 2026 Fur Rendezvous Open World Championship Sled Dog Race title Sunday for the 11th time, breaking a tie for the most wins in the race's long and illustrious history. Alaska News Source reports the Canadian musher traveled three laps, totaling 78 miles through Anchorage over the course of 3 days in an unofficial 4 hours, 16 minutes, and 46 seconds. Streeper said that it was a team that was just working as a chemistry, said it was just fluid motion the way they were running as a unit. Streeper's victory breaks a tie with the great George Huslia Hustler Atla, who won his 10th and final title in 1982. Streeper says that George was a longtime friend in a close-knit network, the dog mushing community. He says he's so privileged to be mentioned in the same conversation with those greats. Race commentator and four-time winner Roxy Wright said of Streeper's feat, "It's just like somebody winning 10 gold medals at the Olympics." 2025 winner Amy Mallow finished 2 minutes behind Streeper for second, while Greg Taylor rounded out
streaming
the podium.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
Well, it's dark, it's cold, but hey, at least we don't have to worry about a sunburn. Hey, Fairbanks, Les Nichols with Fairbanks Nissan. This time of year absolutely wreaks havoc on our cars. Hard starts, no starts, is my winterization working? Heaters that aren't heating, how old is my battery? Brakes that are stiffer than a New Year's cocktail? Suspension that feels every single bump in the road? And life doesn't stop. You still have to get to work, drop off the kids, pick up the kids, do the shopping, and when you call your usual shop with a problem, they'll tell you they can get you in sometime this summer? Maybe it's time for a New Year's resolution. Stop waiting in line and call Fairbanks Nissan. Yes, we sell Nissans, but we work on all makes and models, even yours. In fact, we probably do more work on other brands than we do on Nissans. And we work with almost all extended warranty companies, so you can call us even if you got your warranty somewhere else. When you need help in a hurry, not months from now, call Fairbanks Nissan. Schedule your service online at FairbanksNissan.com. That's FairbanksNissan.com. Fairbanks Nissan, here when winter doesn't wait.
It's dark, it's cold, and that snow's gonna start loading up on a couple of those trees hanging over your yard or house. You do know that Eric and his crew at Great Alaska Tree Company work year-round, right? Troublesome trees don't wait for summer, and neither should you. Winter's the worst time for tree damage to power lines, cars, and homes. Specializing in those tricky, hard-to-reach areas, licensed, bonded, and insured, it's Great Alaska Tree Company.
Hi, this is Eric with Great Alaska Tree Company. Yeah, we're totally still dropping trees all winter long. Give us a call, 978-470.
RSF and the Woodway are proud to present the Keystone Alaska Wood Fireplace. The Alaska DEC approved Opal Plus Keystone Alaska is the result of fine craftsmanship inspired by versatility and built on more than 30 years of proven performance with high efficiency wood burning fireplace. The Keystone is perfect for adding modern sophistication to your home and practicality for heating spaces over 2,000 square feet with catalytic technology. RSF, built on quality, innovation, and originality. Class with comfort, the Alaskan way, the right way, the Woodway.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. Have the Laundry House Gang in here with me. And so are you guys co-conspirators or, you know, Fairbanks, it's the conversations you don't...
Collusionists.
It's the conversations you don't hear that gets so funny and wrapped around the reel.
In this case, trying to describe what it is we're doing? Forming to do.
Yeah. So you were talking about emotion versus science.
Well, that is one of the things that Al and the board members on both the Board of Game, Board of Fish have to deal with a lot, is that people come to them because of a personal or a perceived personal issue. They can't get to where they wanted to moose hunt last year. There are not enough salmon in a creek to keep them happy. And those are emotional presentations. The department, on the other hand, and there are other avenues, sometimes researchers from organizations or university, other agencies, will bring the science in. Mm-hmm. We'll do the counting. I mean, I'll give you for example.
Well, remember Red Sheet Creek. I can't hunt with someone else in the valley.
Yeah, well, there are some ridiculous things like that. But what I'm getting at is most of this is there were questions about how the moose are moving around in the Fairbanks management area again, where we do have hundreds of moose, and we do have, you know, some use of them by hunters and lots of use, people watching them and whatnot. But fishing game hasn't just kind of done anything but count those. They actually have a project on the street now right now where they're collaring them, about 20 of them this year. And the idea is it's a 5-year collar and then it'll fall off the thing, because they want to check those movements and mm-hmm. the productivity of those moose more. In other words,
anticipate a 5-year life cycle on a moose?
On a moose, you know, that's probably a lot. But what I'm getting at here is they're going out and finding information that they can come back with facts and figures.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what the boards need to make decisions. Not, I don't see as many moose in my yard as I used to. My squirrels are driving me crazy. I need a longer squirrel season.
Yeah.
In Wayne's case, of course.
Or a 13-year-old boy.
Yeah. With a 12-gauge shotgun or 20-gauge shotgun.
But what I'm getting at is they have to – a board member looking at a proposal to change something has to look at what the impact is. Mm-hmm. And you don't really get the impact from listening to people saying it's not like it used to be. You know, it's this. It's what do we do about it, and does that impact – that decision, is that going to go in the directions that they want to go? And sometimes not. The thing that always gets me between the boards of fishing game is you will hear the word we're going to err on the side of conservation about 400 times a meeting from both of those organizations. But their decisions don't go in that direction. I mean, for example, our fish board hasn't do anything to cut down the numbers of pink salmon that we are dumping out of hatcheries into the ocean. For conservation. That is the one part of that whole thing that we can do something
about. Can the governor do an administrative order to stop it? Or is that a federal program?
No, that's a state program.
Can he do anything?
I don't know whether he probably could. This is a would situation rather mm-hmm. than a could situation.
Okay.
Think again, though, about some of the ways that we create bureaucracy in during unfavorable administrations, we think we're doing something good. And during favorable administrations, we look back and think this thing that we've created. So you're talking about the hatcheries and whether or not he can do something. Well, you know, now we have hatchery plans. Now we have these processes that are oftentimes geared to either slow down poor decisions that we're afraid will happen or mm-hmm. we've seen happen, or they are geared towards slowly plowing a decision that we've been trying to get that an administration refuses to take. Either way, and I know we're going to go to the phone, we do this. There's ways that the governor's probably constrained by some of that in an EO he could produce.
True. Yeah. We're going to take a phone call. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
My name is Lucy.
Lucy, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm always listening to you guys, and I don't always have time to call you.
This is your first call of the year. Thank you for calling us. You know, I was wondering.
You're very welcome. I do listen to you, and I learn a lot from you all, and thank you.
That Al Barrett, he's a pretty intelligent guy.
And I do enjoy Mike Tinker because he always has something to say about moose.
Lucy and I go back a long way. I always try to find an answer for her question. And sometimes I probably have about 85% success on that, where I can figure it out. But I love to hear her because she comes right at this from the heart.
Yeah.
But in your country this year, downriver, Lucy, the moose population was very good. So hopefully the relatives and friends down there did well in this last moose season.
They did, but the big problem was I will mention is a lot of what you call it, out-of-state hunters discovered there's big moose down there.
Oh,
much problem. At Pilot Station, where I'm from, they found three pretty good-sized bulls. All they took was the heads of the bull moose.
Yeah.
They killed the cow that was with them.
So they just took the trophy.
They're just for the trophy to hang on the wall. And I tried to help my family. I called anybody that I could, and I want you to know that. I'm not going to stand and listen and not say anything. I like to get attention so people can get help wherever the people need help. You know, for example, the moose is very, very good right now, but I also want to say they've already depleted the salmon so badly. I don't want the moose to be depleted. But right now, I'm taking the wrong direction. I had a question for one of your group.
What's your question, Lucy?
The seven board members, how do you select them? Is there a representative for certain regions, and who represents Lower Yukon? I'll hang up and listen. I want to listen to you guys, and thank you.
Lucy, thank you very much for the phone call. Great hearing from you, and you have a great afternoon. So, Al, that's in your wheelhouse.
So both the Board of Fish, or Board of Fish and the Board of Game, have seven board members. They have staggered three-year term limits, and they are appointed or reappointed by the governor. That's in the current governor. And then once they're appointed, they go through a legislative
confirmation.
Which can be the Board of Fish and the Board of Game, as far as any of the other boards and commissions that are around, are really sometimes confrontational about who gets, you know, through the confirmation hearings.
So those hearings occur in the House and the Senate. So each person that's appointed to a board that requires legislative confirmation, the public weighs in, they send letters, they give testimony, the committees ask them many questions. And, you know, sometimes the anti-hunting people have wanted to have certain slots on the board for certain types of users. And many times we have said that, you know, here in Alaska, as Root probably knows, that, you know, we wear multiple hats. We have, somebody can have lots of different uses, and if they've lived in if they grew up on the Yukon but they currently live in Juneau, they may be able to speak to their traditional hunting ground somewhere else. And so they try to do it with as many areas of expertise as possible and as much geographic representation. And the place for that, Ruby, is to weigh in when they have those confirmation hearings to say, I agree with this, or I don't think there's enough geographic representation. I like this person, but I don't want them confirmed because everybody's from Sitka or something.
You know, it gets interesting. The Board of Game is pretty tame, but the Board of Fish, you know, that you know, you have the interests of basically the trawlers, commercial versus subsistence and sport. And it gets really ugly. And wasn't it about 4 years ago that Representative Ivy Sponholz basically character assassinated a past board member, saying he sexually assaulted?
Yeah, she got information from some people who had come to her, and then she made a floor speech, which was emotional because she was affected by it. And she was trying to say she'd heard from people who said that they were uncomfortable with him, and it got into a thing. But, you know, the Board of Game is also just as contentious sometimes. Yeah. And especially during the Knowles administration and that legislative makeup, we had to remind people who wanted non-consumptive users on the board, they don't pay into the system. If you don't buy a hunt, fish, trap license, you don't pay for conservation at all.
There was one year, my brother Dana was appointed to the Board of Game, I believe it was, by Knowles. And the legislature would not confirm any of Noel's appointments. So everyone who was appointed was not seated.
Okay, it's funny that you bring that up because I hatched that plan.
Oh, that was you.
Well, yes, and there was some friends who were collateral damage. I hatched that plan with the presiding officer. Well, he's interrupting us.
We're going in the weeds away from answering Lucy's question.
Yeah.
Okay, and I'm trying to get you back on a track here.
Well, I'm trying to answer. Okay, well, we'll just let that hang out there again as lore that goes unexplained again for 20 years. Thanks, Tinker.
The thing we want to recall, and Al will know the statute number and so forth, is that the enabling legislation for the board says, for purposes of conservation and development, there shall be boards of fish and game.
Now, to conclude this, Ms. Uhas, you did my brother a wonderful favor because he sat up here for 7 days during the board meeting and he's going, I've never heard so much goodly crap in my life. And he goes, thank God they didn't confirm me.
Well, so it was a sweep and it was to send a message on an outgoing governor by the legislature. And when I'd been approached about a couple of people on a couple of boards who were actually good, I said, well, so if Frank Murkowski wins, we can get him reappointed. And they were like, you're right.
He didn't want to be reappointed.
I think the point is it's very political sometimes.
But I want
to go back to Lucy's question on where the board comes from, because that was her question of how does the representation from Pilot Station area get in there, and the answer is not necessarily a comfortable one, and that is there is no requirement.
It's at the political whim of the governor who he appoints.
I'm talking about in the Constitution.
Yeah, not the Board of Fish anymore.
Yeah, there is no requirement for them to be spread out all over the place. They could pick 7 people from Anchorage if they wanted to.
True.
But it talks about their background in there. Then they have to be persons knowledgeable in the various issues that the board is going to take. So what happens is you generally get a geographic representation on the board for that reason.
Because of public input.
That's right.
I'm on Alaska Housing Corporation's board of directors, and I am the public housing, low-income housing representative. And I'm a board member of 7 years on Fairbanks Neighborhood Housing Services, which gives me the qualifications to be there. But I have other, chairman of the DNR, the commissioner of revenue and things like that.
And the governor put me on the labor board, and I'm in a labor seat while there are management seats, and then there are two non-either seats. Yeah. We have continually rejected, and this does go to Lucy's question, for fish.
Great question, Lucy.
For Board of Fish and Board of Game, we've rejected putting constraints on what type of, on designating seats because we want to have the public input on that and have that discussion take place rather than having it dictated specific region, et cetera.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. When we come back, Wayne Eimer is going to chime in on this. We'll be back after these messages, and we have to lose Jen Uhas. She's going to go watch the governor give a speech.
Yep.
We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Ice fishing is great winter fun, if you're prepared. Now, before you make your fishing hole in the ice, make Frontier Outfitters your first stop for everything you need to limit out. Rods to tackle, to ice tents, and ice augers. And Frontier Outfitters has the right winter clothing to keep you toasty warm and dry. Not to mention your license, guns, ammo, and a wide variety of snowshoes. Your next outdoor adventure is waiting for you. It begins at Frontier Outfitters for your Alaskan lifestyle.
Finally, the sun is coming out. Great reason to smile, so show yours off with help from Affordable Dental Care. From cleaning and fillings to root canals, crowns, even veneers. Yep, they do it all. And as the name implies, it's very affordable. And if you suffer from dental anxiety, no worries. The staff at Affordable Dental know how to put your mind at ease and make your procedure a pleasant one. See all their services online at adcak.com. Affordable Dental Care off 14th Avenue downtown.
KFAR Radio is proud to bring you 50-50 Friday. Every Friday at 9 a.m., log on to our website for a half-price offer from a local business. Great deals on restaurants, stores, shops, services, sporting events, and more. It's 50-50 Friday. This week's offer,
It's tea season, and it's time for you to embrace the winter weather with Sipping Streams Tea Company. Whether you're digging out of the snow or you crave the warmth and comfort of a great cup of tea, or if you're a true tea connoisseur, Sipping Streams Tea Company is perfect for you. For this week's 50-50 Friday, you'll get a $100 gift certificate to Sipping Streams for half price. It's a tea lover's paradise with a great menu. Book a Victorian tea party with your friends at Sipping Streams Tea Company.
So log on to KFARradio.com this Friday morning starting at 9 a.m. for this awesome half-price offer. But hurry, as this deal will go fast. It's 50-50 Friday from KFAR.
KFAR Weather.
Ample sunshine expected this afternoon with daytime highs approaching one above. Winds out of the south around 5 miles per hour. Lows dip down to about 30 below. Tonight, clear skies. Mainly clear skies. Tomorrow, highs level off around 3 below. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. We lost Miss Uhas. She has to go to an event. She's going to watch the governor give the Chamber of Commerce speech at the 8-Star Event Center. But she will be hosting KFAR Problem Corner for me tomorrow. I've got a family in town that I have to run around town with, and so she'll be behind the mic, and then she'll be with me on Friday. She has an item that we're going to be discussing in very intensively. So, but Mr. Heimer, you were wanting to say something before we went to break.
Yeah, I wonder what it was. I was conspiring with. That's what it was.
With some co-conspirators.
Yeah, my co-conspirators in this case are the enabling legislation for the boards of fish and game. It says that they shall exist for purposes of conservation and development, and that very basically the members shall have an interest in and be aware of the stuff they're going to be passing regulations about. Again, you know, this has become such a circus of special interest that, yeah, and well-intentioned, that we would like the people that are on the land to have a say in how their stuff is managed. But the management is mostly done by the board, sometimes by force of obsolete management plans that were pie in the sky when they were written years ago. And it just is a system that could use a lot of work, I think.
And the examples of this that Wade's talking about is what people get disenfranchised with it. Some geographically, some regionally, in the sense of a smaller area, big. Mm-hmm. We have legislation being considered by the legislature that talks about allowing people who are involved in the commercial fisheries, for example, to do more about decision making on the Board of Game. Right now, ethical considerations require them to recuse themselves. We have in there now a new bill to take the Board of Fish and make it into 3 regional fish boards of five members each. So this is what happens when people get disenfranchised and they start trying to figure out how to fix it.
It's that time of the show where I ask you, what are we going to do in March outdoors? Mr. Heimer, what is your recommendation for people to do outdoors in the month of March?
Stay indoors. Yeah. this cold weather, snow business. There's a rumor in my neighborhood that I love plowing snow. I do not. I derive a certain artistic satisfaction from doing it well, but I'm flummoxed. I don't know what to do with all this snow and cold weather.
And he's got a cab on his machine, too.
Mr. Tinker, what's your recommendation?
Well, there are some things you can do, but in deference to what Wayne said, it really we do need it to warm up just a little more. But this is the time when you can start taking the kids out and doing some things for short-term ice fishing, that kind of thing. But I think, Al had the right idea. He's collected up 4 snow shovels, and he's having a class on how to shovel snow.
At his driveway.
Yeah, a driveway on his garage roof.
I saw that notification.
Yeah, and if people would come over on Saturday, he'll
But if they need any remedial education after his class, it's over at my house.
Ah, I see.
Remedial education.
That's the secondary.
Yeah.
Got it.
Mr. Bear, what's your...
Yeah, well, the snow shoveling class and how to safely shovel snow has gone and passed, but I am giving an updated and an advanced class on snow blowing. So, you can show up at the same place with your snowblower and I'll show you how to safely operate your snow machine and get rid of some snow.
I'm going to give everyone two options. Option A is to Winter Kings down in Homer. That is that time of year to go get a Winter King, start thinking about fishing. You can go down there, get a charter, and do that. Option two is... what's the term I'm looking for? Go to Hawaii and do some windsurfing. Work on your tan.
Whale watching.
Windsurfing. I mean, it's a activity for exercise. So both involve the water.
Yeah.
One is in Alaska. One is in Hawaii. And since Mexico is under duress, we'll call it. I thought just go to Hawaii, go to the Big Island, and go windsurfing someplace.
More importantly,
we're going to take a phone call. We lost the phone call. Must have been Compo.
Yeah. Well, more importantly, during the North American sled dog race, the Alaska Trappers will be having a weekend of selling furs at the parking lot of the the Dog Mushers Hall. And
when
then
is
there's
it?
Also a chance that you can get some tickets and go to the Trappers Fling.
When is the Open North American?
It's like the 20th. It's during that North American. It's around the 23rd-ish or something, whatever that Friday and Saturday is.
Third weekend.
Okay. Now,
21st, 22nd.
Now, Miss Yuha, she texted me in March, send everybody to the fur auction. So
there you go.
So we have confirmation that there is a fur auction. And I think it's the 20th, 21st, 22nd. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Right. And then that Saturday night is the Fling, which is a wonderful event. It's well worth the tickets that you purchase there. And it'll be lots of space because it's at the Event Center this year.
And everyone, Fairbanks is the dog mushing capital of the world.
Sure.
No matter how you look at it, it's Fairbanks with all the mushing we have here. And that is such an incredible event to witness. Mm-hmm. And go out to the Jeff Stoddart Racetrack, go on the trail someplace, listen to KFAR radio. I get that Friday off while they're announcing the race. Or no, I don't, because they start the race after my show. I'm so important that they start the race after my show.
Really nice, Dave.
That was such an egotistical statement there. But what the heck? I'm trying to be Wayne Heimer.
If I only had something to sell.
Yeah. The thing that's really great about the North American weekend is that the dog races are up close.
Yeah,
you can get close. You can see them a dozen places on the trail. You get people that go into the lead and then win this thing in 3 days. It's not like one of the long-distance races where it takes a week.
And you can watch them out of Creamer's Field.
You can watch them at Creamer's
Field. And the best part is you get to meet old friends that you haven't seen for
last
year. So, it's a great community event and a great time to meet
it
your
is.
Other friends.
It is.
So that's our consensus what to do in March.
There you go.
That's our consensus. If you're going to stay in Fairbanks, our consensus.
And Jennifer's birthday is right about that weekend.
Oh,
just so you know.
She's a wonderful 21.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, we've got about a minute left, gentlemen. Any final comments, Mr. Tinker?
No, I think it might be a opportunistic time for the state. I hope the governor picks up on it. We'll try to ask him about that today and whatnot, and see if we can and push like on this Department of the Interior stuff and get some advantage.
Mr. Barrett,
get out and do some ptarmigan hunting. The weather's going to start getting nice again.
Mr. Wayne Heimer,
I'm conspiring.
He is one of those. Fairbanks, you have a great day. Gentlemen, thank you. And Miss Yuhas, thank you very much for your attention to detail in today's show. Miss Yuhas will be here tomorrow along with the King and Queen Regent of the Pioneers, and I will see you on Friday.